Weather trends, expert takes, and the truth behind the data, you're listening to Weather Waves, found at WXWaves.com.
Okay, let's dive deep. Today, we're really unpacking the forecast for the upcoming 2025 hurricane season.
That's right. We've got the official outlook documents here, some, you know, background context, even a pronunciation guide for a couple of names we'll need.
Yeah, our mission today is really to sift through all this, pull out the key predictions for the Pacific and the Atlantic, and sort of figure out what it means for you getting ready.
Exactly. Taking that expert data and making it, well, understandable and actionable.
This is purely based on the materials provided for this deep dive, just so you know.
Absolutely. Straight from the source.
Okay, first things first. Let's get the calendar straight. When does hurricane season officially, you know, kick off and end?
Okay, so for the Central Pacific Basin and the Atlantic Basin, the official start date is June 1st.
Mm-hmm. June 1st, got it.
And both of those run right through until November 30th.
Okay, June 1st to November 30th. But wasn't there another region mentioned? The Eastern Pacific.
Ah, yes. Good catch. The Eastern Pacific actually gets a bit of a jump start. That season begins earlier, May 15th.
May 15th. So it's already underway as we speak.
It is. But it ends on the same date, November 30th.
Right. So some places are already in season. And we actually have an official forecast out already for one of those, don't we?
We do. The Central Pacific. Their 2025 outlook was released on May 15th, coinciding with their season start.
And who's behind that forecast?
That comes from NOAA. Specifically, their Central Pacific Hurricane Center, working together with the Climate Prediction Center.
Okay, NOAA. So what are they predicting for the Central Pacific this year? What are the chances?
Well, they've laid out the probabilities. They see a 30% chance of a below normal season.
30% below. Okay.
A 50% chance of a near normal season. That's the highest probability.
50% near normal.
And then just a 20% chance of an above normal season.
So the odds seem tilted towards near normal or maybe even slightly below. But what does near normal actually mean in terms of like storm numbers for that specific area?
Yeah, good question. A typical or near normal season for the Central Pacific usually involves about 4 or 5 tropical cyclones.
4 or 5. And the forecast range for this year?
They're predicting 1 to 4 tropical cyclones for the basin.
1 to 4, okay.
And that basin, just for clarity, is the area north of the equator,
yep,
between 140 degrees west longitude and the international dateline.
So potentially fewer than that typical 4 or 5. But, and this seems really important, even with that outlook, what was the main message from the experts there?
This is absolutely critical. Chris Brenchley, he's the director at NOAA's Central Pacific Hurricane Center, and that's pronounced Bren Lonley.
Mm-hmm.
And he really stressed that despite the numbers, regardless of the forecast,
yeah,
residents, businesses, everyone in the region needs to prepare.
Yeah.
And prepare well ahead of time. Don't wait.
That really stands out. The forecast is one thing, but the call to prepare is constant. Always. Just quickly, when they say tropical cyclone, what does that actually cover?
Right. That's an umbrella term. It includes everything from tropical depressions to tropical storms, right up to full-blown hurricanes.
So that 1 to 4 could be any mix of those strengths.
Exactly.
Okay, let's pivot a bit. We have the Central Pacific outlook. What about the Atlantic? You mentioned that one.
Right. So based on the information we have, the Atlantic outlook hadn't actually been announced yet. It was scheduled, but not released at the time this source material was compiled.
Ah. Okay. Do we know when it was scheduled for release?
Yes. The date was set for Thursday, May 22nd, 2025.
And they were planning a specific location for the announcement?
They were. The plan was to announce it from the Jefferson Parish Emergency Operations Center down in Gretna, Louisiana, with a virtual option, too.
Makes sense. And who was lined up to deliver that Atlantic forecast? Any specific names?
Yeah, the speakers listed were Laura Grimm, who's the acting NOAA administrator. And remember, NOAA is pronounced NOAA.
Like the ARC. Got it.
Right. And also Ken Graham, the director of NOAA's National Weather Service.
And what were they expected to cover in that announcement? More than just the numbers, presumably.
Oh, definitely. They were expected to discuss the anticipated level of activity, of course, but also the climate factors influencing the forecast, you know, sea surface temperatures, El Niño, La Niña conditions, things like that.
And I assume advice for the public.
Yes. And crucially, advice on public preparation.
Which brings us right back to that core message again, doesn't it?
It really does. Mm. NOAA's emphasis, clear across all the materials, is that hurricane safety, hurricane preparedness, it's just vital. And you need to get it done before June 1st hits.
The forecast informs, but the action is key.
Precisely.
So behind all this forecasting and the preparedness messaging, there's obviously a lot of science, a lot of infrastructure. Who are the main organizations doing this work?
Well, the big players are the National Hurricane Center, the NHC, and as we mentioned, the Central Pacific Hurricane Center.
And the NHC, that's not a new organization, is it? It has some history.
Oh, absolutely. It goes way back.
Yeah.
Established in 1898, its whole reason for being from the start was about mitigation forecasting, tracking storms, trying to lessen the impact.
Wow, 1898, that's significant.
And it's even got a global role, designated as a regional specialized meteorological center by the World Meteorological Organization.
So a long history, global recognition. How do they actually, you know, do it? What tech are they using to gather data for these forecasts?
They're using some pretty sophisticated tools. The sources point to things like satellites, obviously giving that overhead view.
Right.
Also networks of buoys out in the ocean, constantly sending back data on conditions.
Temperature, wave height, that sort of thing.
Exactly. And maybe the most dramatic tool.
Yeah.
Reconnaissance aircraft. Those hurricane hunters that actually fly into the storms.
Flying into a hurricane, that takes guts. What do they do with all that data once they have it? From the planes, the buoys, the satellites?
All of that raw data gets fed into powerful computer models. These models simulate atmospheric conditions and help forecast how a storm might behave its track, its intensity.
And the Central Pacific Center uses similar methods.
Yes, they leverage a similar suite of observation tools and NOAA's advanced computer modeling systems as well.
Okay, this next bit sounds really interesting. The sources talk about some specific upgrades, like new capabilities for this year's season. What are these improvements?
Yeah, these are pretty significant enhancements. Both the Central Pacific Hurricane Center and the NHC have rolled out some key upgrades.
Okay, like what? Give us the highlights.
Well, a really big one is about forecasting the extent of hurricane force winds. That's the really damaging stuff, 74 miles per hour or more.
Right.
They've extended the forecast for that specific wind field out from 48 hours to 72 hours.
72 hours? That's a whole extra day's warning for the most dangerous winds.
It is. It's a substantial increase in lead time. And sort of related to that, another major improvement. They now have the ability to issue advisories for potential tropical cyclones.
Potential ones, meaning before they've even fully formed.
Kind of. It means they can put out these advisories up to 72 hours before they expect storm surge or tropical storm force winds to hit land, even if the system isn't quite a named storm yet.
Wow. So again, pushing that warning window further out.
Exactly. And the stated reason is very clear. Give communities more time to activate plans for evacuations if needed, for people to secure property. It's all about increasing that preparation window.
That seems like a real game changer. Any other specific new tools mentioned?
Yes. One more highlighted specifically for Hawaii. The National Weather Service is now providing storm surge flooding forecasts for the main Hawaiian islands.
Ah, tailored for that specific geography.
Precisely. It's aimed at helping emergency managers there provide more targeted warnings for coastal flooding risks.
Okay, when we hear about storms, we always hear Category 1, Category 5. The sources mention the scale the NHC uses for this.
Right, that's the Saffir-Simpson Hurricane Wind Scale, often just called the Saffir-Simpson Scale, or SHHS.
And what's that based on? What determines if a storm is a Cat 1 or a Cat 3?
Primarily, it's based on the storm's maximum sustained wind speed.
Just the wind.
Well, the scale itself correlates wind speeds with historical data on the kinds of damage and impacts typically seen, which includes factors like barometric pressure and storm surge potential associated with those winds.
Can you give a quick example from the scale? Like, what's a Cat 1 versus a Cat 5?
Sure. A Category 1 hurricane has sustained winds of 74 to 95 miles per hour. Generally, it causes some damage.
Okay.
Category 5, the highest level, has winds over 155 miles per hour. That's catastrophic damage, major storm surge expected.
Now, there was a really interesting point in the source material about what this scale doesn't include, right?
Yes, this often surprises people. The Saffir-Simpson wind scale, as the name implies, is about wind. So the amount of rainfall a storm is expected to produce and the potential for inland flooding from that rain, Those are not used to determine the storm's category on this particular scale.
That is fascinating, because flooding can obviously be one of the most devastating impacts.
Absolutely. It highlights that you need to pay attention to all the hazards a storm brings, not just the category number.
Okay, so we've got the forecast coming out. We have these incredible tools gathering data, these new 72-hour warnings. We understand the wind scale better. How does all this vital info actually reach the public when a storm is threatening?
The NHC and local weather offices use multiple channels. The sources mention things like National Weather Service radio broadcasts, still very important.
Right, the weather radio.
Their own website, which is hurricanes.gov, that's a key hub, and other outlets too, like iAlert.com was mentioned.
What about mobile alerts? So many people rely on their phones now.
Yes, definitely. They push information out through cell phone apps and wireless emergency alerts as well.
And if people just want the go-to places for watches, warnings, analysis, preparedness tips?
The sources recommend these key websites. Hurricanes.gov for the overall picture and Atlantic-specific.
Hurricanes.gov.
The Central Pacific Hurricane Center's website for that specific region. And FEMA's site, ready.gov. For general preparedness information.
Ready.gov, good resources to have bookmarked. Stepping back for a second, the reason all this effort, the forecasting, the warnings, the constant push for preparedness is so critical, it really comes down to history, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. The source material reminds us, pretty starkly, about the historical devastation. We're talking thousands of lives lost over the years and damage costs in the billions and billions of dollars.
Just staggering numbers. And you mentioned the NHC started way back in 1898.
Right. Its very creation was a response to that history, an attempt to mitigate those terrible losses through science and warning.
So it all circles back to that fundamental point we keep hitting on.
It does. Preparation isn't just a suggestion. It's essential. And the time to do it is now, before the season really gets going, before a storm is on the horizon.
So let's recap this deep dive. We've covered the official season dates June 1st for Atlantic and Central Pacific, May 15th for Eastern Pacific, all ending November 30th.
We looked at the Central Pacific outlook probabilities, leaning near normal or maybe below, predicting 1 to 4 cyclones, but with that huge emphasis on preparing anyway.
Right. And we noted the Atlantic Outlook announcement was scheduled for May 22nd, with folks like Laura Grimm from NOAA, that's NOAA, and Ken Graham set to speak.
We touched on the science behind it, all the NHC's long history, the satellites, the buoys, those amazing reconnaissance flights feeding the computer models.
And those exciting new improvements. Extending the hurricane force wind forecast to 72 hours, and the new potential tropical cyclone advisories also out to 72 hours. Plus the storm surge forecast for Hawaii. Real advancements.
Yep. We clarified the Saffir-Simpson scale based on wind, linking to potential surge, but importantly, not rainfall or flooding potential for its category rating.
And finally, where to get information. Hurricanes.gov, CPHC's site, ready.gov, weather radio, mobile alerts.
All stemming from that historical context of devastation and the ongoing mission to mitigate it.
Our goal here was really to distill these official sources for you, give you the key insights quickly, and maybe leave you with something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Considering the incredible detail science now provides, like those 72-hour wind field forecasts, isn't it interesting how the official strength scale, Saffir-Simpson, still primarily focuses on wind and doesn't directly incorporate expected rainfall or flooding?
It does make you think about the different facets of a storm's threat.
Exactly. So here's a thought to chew on. Given the terrible history of hurricanes, how do these forecasting improvements we talked about, this extra lead time, fundamentally change the equation for communities trying to prepare? Does it change how we should prepare?
Something to consider. The key takeaway remains. Stay informed, use these official resources, and please be prepared as we move into the season.